This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and our first story, KLites, we have a new mayor.
Hasil daripada penilaian itu, kita merasakan bahawa Dato' Nur Hisham, dia adalah calon yang terbaik untuk menggantikan Tan Sri Amin. Ya. Pengalaman Dato' Nur Hisham, dia ada vast area of experience yang berbeza-beza, dan kita mengharapkan bahawa a new broom sweeps clean.
That was Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad introducing the new mayor, Dato' Nur Hisham Ahmad Dahlan. He is the city's 12th mayor, and he's taking over from Amin Nordin Abdul Aziz, who was initially supposed to retire on July 18, 2019, but he resigned on the 1st of September.
So some background, Nur Hisham, who was born and raised in the city and was formerly the Subang Jaya Municipal Council president, will be bringing his no-nonsense style of management with him. The new mayor has promised to serve everyone in the city equally, regardless of race, religion, or economic standing.
Bagi saya, kita membantu semua orang, tak kira dari kaum mana, fahaman apa dan sebagainya lagi ini. Kita nakkan Kuala Lumpur kita punya. Itulah yang menyebabkan Kuala Lumpur setara dengan bandaraya-bandaraya di dunia ini. Bagi saya, walk the talk. Now, kita bergerak, listen, di samping listen, lihat, buat.
All right, so the mayor also said that he would be open to any suggestion and critique from city folk to make our capital a world-class city.
Are you excited? I'm quite excited.
About a new mayor?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the mayor has pretty, I guess, wide powers when it comes to Kuala Lumpur, right? And DBKL. And I think for the longest time, there has been a lot of talk about making KL more livable, more lovable, all of this stuff. It was actually a major part of back then Pemandu's key transformation areas of the city, right? And we've seen a little bit of it in the way they've modified the river.
The river walk.
Yes, the river walk and all of that stuff. But I think it goes beyond that, right? I think there needs to be a serious mindset change with our KL citizens. We don't necessarily
treasure our city.
We don't take care of it well enough. And I think a lot of that has to come not just from the top, but from bottom up. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the new mayor can actually inspire a sense of love and compassion and passion for the city. I don't know. Maybe we're too far gone.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I personally would really love for the city to be more walkable. I think a lot of KL is actually very beautiful when you walk it.
Yes.
It's very beautiful at ground level, but we don't get to do it enough because it's just so hot and dangerous. And once it rains, you're basically, you're flooded in. So, I mean, he said he's open to any suggestions and critique. That's mine. What are yours? You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio to let us know what you think. What would you do to make KL, what was it? Is it more lovable, more livable?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, that's exactly what we want to know. What do you love about KL? And also, what do you not like so much? I mean, the walkability thing is a big issue because obviously you'll just suddenly run out of sidewalk and be on a highway.
Or the sidewalk was broken to begin with.
That's true.
Just a lot going on. And as someone who loves walking cities, it's always pained me a little bit that I can't walk in my own city. So I'd love to hear that. Let us know what you think. Again, that number to call, 7733 2900. Moving on to our next story.
Flight 1520 for Zurich will depart from gate 33.
Mr. Navarsky,
please follow me.
While you were in the air, there was a military coup in your country.
The Republic of Krakosia is under new leadership.
Krakosia?
I don't think he gets it.
Where do I buy the Nike shoes?
I'm going to need the passport also.
No,
Mr. Navarsky. Beyond those doors is American soil. You are not to leave this building.
Krakosia.
Krakosia, where do you buy the Nike shoes?
I love that movie. There's
I'm going
a
more Italian. I can
scene
feel it.
In which Stanley Tucci asks Tom Hanks' character, "What are you afraid of?" And he goes, "Dracula." But yes, you may have heard of our very own local version of Tom Hanks in The Terminal. His name is Hassan Al-Kontar. He is the Syrian man who had been stranded in KLIA since March, and he was unable to leave the airport and re-enter the country after overstaying his three-month tourist visa. So, understandably, he got the interest of a lot of human rights groups since he fell into something of a bureaucratic grey space and couldn't go back to Syria because he had left his home to avoid conscription in the army.
Since then, travellers passing through KLIA too have attempted to offer help. Marriage proposals have also been coming in yes. in an attempt to get Hassan a visa. Here he is responding to all of that on a Twitter video.
I have been receiving some calls and some links. People are offering solutions. To them, I need to say I thank you. You are so kind for your offer. However, I did not reach this point. I did not suffer for the last 37 days. I did not spend the last 8 years with no valid documents, passport, just to accept any temporary solution. I fade up from this life. I need a permanent solution where I can be safe, where I can be legal, where I can work. I need to be under an international organization list, not under any local government refugee program, because it will provide me no official documents. So when my passport is expired, I will be on my own and I will be reliving what I already lived for the last 8 years.
But unlike that, unlike what Hollywood would suggest, happy endings in real life are far and few between.
Yesterday, Immigration Director General Dato' Sri Mustafa Ali said Hassan was detained by the police for being in a forbidden area of the airport, saying that flight passengers with boarding passes at the boarding area are supposed to get on their flight. This man did not do so, so he is situated in a forbidden zone. Therefore, the authorities had to take the necessary action.
Yeah, Mustafa said at a press conference at the immigration headquarters, going on to add that after police finished questioning Hassan, the Syrian national would be referred to the immigration department.
So, I mean, what he said next in my head is a bit snarky. I didn't hear the tone, but he said this man claimed that he does not want to return to Syria because he is afraid of becoming a soldier there or whatever his real reason is, but we need to have closure here.
Yes. Previously, a source with the immigration department at KLIA 2 said that they are aware of Hassan and his situation, but he needs to go back to Syria. And while Hassan has said to the BBC, "I don't know what to do. I have no one to advise me on where I can go. I really need help because I believe the worst is yet to come." He also added that there is an arrest warrant against his name in Syria after he avoided military service. So it is a very sad story.
Yes, it is. I mean, I think
Tom Hanks eventually got his Nike shoes.
He did. And after all the attention that this got on social media, I guess it's one of those very sobering realities where no matter how much we share and tweet and, you know, like things on Facebook, this dude got arrested and that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We asked you earlier about whether or not you've got any suggestions for us, or rather for our new mayor, about how we can improve KL. And we have Dr. Lee on the line. Hi, Dr. Lee.
Hi.
Hi. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I am excited to have a new broom in KL. And one of the things that many complaints has been made, but so far nothing has happened,
yeah,
about the road signs in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, good point.
Bad, very confusing. And there are road signs with many destinations. For example, when you come to the Shenzhen Junction, there are three or four road signs. Each road sign has five or six destinations, and you expect us to discern which direction in split second, which way to go. So it's very bad, not well planned.
Yes.
Can the new mayor do something about it, please?
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your call, Dr. Lee. And you know what? I think we should send this recording of all of your calls to DBKL and the new mayor with all of your suggestions. We'll cut a little package, if you will, and send it over to the mayor. I think that'll be really helpful. He did ask for suggestions and critiques.
He did. And also, I mean, we used to be PJ folk back when we were based in Bandar Utama, but we're in Tamantun now.
Well, we've crossed the border. Now we count.
Yes, we do. And now our thoughts as KL folk matter. Toh Hun Ki says, make KL more bikeable, charge each car a congestion charge to enter the city.
Can I say, right, earlier this year, we had that big conference in Kuala Lumpur, that International Cities Conference in Kuala Lumpur, and they made so much of an effort to make those bike lanes that run through the city. That you will see them when you're driving through KL, those electric blue bike lanes on the left, which are completely and utterly pointless because buses and taxis park there all the time. So if you're on a bicycle, most likely you're going to go crash into a bus.
Yes, I've seen
those.
There
needs to be more enforcement. It drives me nuts. And if there's traffic jams, it suddenly becomes the Kanchil lane.
We have another message from Ruzi saying that I hope the new mayor can clean up DBKL, citing a previous story and saying, I see this as a blatant failure of transparency, a sign of non-engagement, a disregard for due process, an arrogant indifference to the needs of taxpaying Kuala Lumpur residents. Following the new mayor's broom analogy, use the broom to clean up DBKL. Vinod saying that I hope that KL would become more disabled-friendly, specifically for wheelchair users. This would mean proper ramps to get onto sidewalks or to the bus stops.
Yes, absolutely.
And we also have Peter on the line. Hi, Peter. What are your thoughts?
Hello. Yeah, okay. What I want to... I've got a few questions to ask about KL, but I just want to ask one. I understand this is the 12th mayor of KL.
Yes.
Now, I'm not too sure, but I would say about 95% I'm certain that all the mayors of KL have been from one of the three major communities in Malaysia. And despite that, you see that KL has got a substantial number of minority citizens.
Yes.
So why is it that there never seems to have been a mayor who represents one of those minority groups, when the majority of Kuala Lumpur itself is comprised of those minorities?
So,
you know what I mean?
So, Peter, no, it's a very good point. And I think what's interesting about that, Peter, is we have been promised local council elections.
I think the
primary reason is because the mayor has always been a political appointee. Now,
correct.
If we do get elections and we get to elect our mayor, I think that will be a very good thing. And then you might see things change, right? Because then it won't just be a question of politics.
I see.
I mean,
I'm just asking a question because in this new era, so-called, of transparency and openness and so on, this is a question that needs to be asked. Even now, as
absolutely.
A political appointee, isn't it time that we had someone from the minority appointed as a mayor after 46 years?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely
yeah.
right. So, yeah, well, thank you very much for your call. I think Peter's absolutely right. It's a very good question. And here's the thing, right? KL is the entry point to every immigrant that walks through Malaysia. We were those original immigrants, and now there is a new batch of immigrants that are coming to Malaysia. In about 20
absolutely.
Years, the makeup of KL is going to change.
I think it's heartening that the new mayor has said that he plans to represent everybody, regardless of creed. However, I understand also that push for representation. It
correct.
Does matter. Deep says the mayor needs to cancel the plan to ban by 2020 street food stalls in Kuala Lumpur. It's what makes the city affordable and unique. Absolutely. I very much agree with that. And then Shiram says, undo overdevelopment and focus on urban rejuvenation. Make KL cleaner and greener. Fill up every empty space with greenery. Stop shopkeepers taking over sidewalks. Tackle rampant double and triple parking. Absolutely. Yeah, everyone has such good suggestions.
Yes, very good suggestions.
We're going to go to some messages now, but after this, we're going to talk about racism and dating. Stay tuned on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. You are listening to Lynn and Uma on the Evening Edition, and we're taking you through some of our favorite headlines
yes.
of the day, or the big ones, I suppose. Our next story focuses on this. When you date, do you have a type? And is that type at all based on race? We would love to hear
exciting.
From you. It is, always remember, the Evening Edition is a safe space. We would very much like to hear, do you have a type when you date?
Your secret is safe with us. We won't tell anyone, we promise.
We won't tell anybody. That number to call, 7733-2900. If you're shy, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and you can tweet us at BFM Radio.
Yeah, so we know that racism manifests itself in society and in all walks of life, and it seems that problems of racism are as rife in online environments. obviously. More specifically, apparently, dating apps. So apps like Tinder and Bumble are increasingly becoming go-to apps for people to meet. Now, these apps host tens of millions of users globally. And if you're a user, it's likely that you would have encountered some form of racial preference.
So some users explicitly state on their profile that they have zero tolerance policies towards particular ethnicities. For example, in America, or rather in the West, there would have been perhaps black equals block or no Asians wanted. There are also users who have been plagued by racism of a fetishizing nature, with men in particular making perverse comments and assumptions based on ethnicity and race.
I was just going to say, if it's in America, there could also be the reverse racism of only Asians wanted, right? Racism has long been a problem on Grindr. A 2015 paper by researchers in Australia found 96% of users had viewed at least one profile that included some sort of racial discrimination, and more than half believed they'd been victims of racism. More than one in eight admitted they'd included text on their profile indicating they themselves discriminated on the basis of race.
That's honest. Internet news portal BuzzFeed did a video recently where they looked into research of racial preferences in online dating. Here are their findings.
Researchers analyzed 2.4 million heterosexual interactions on the app Are You Interested? Users were classified by their gender and race. Men responded three times more often than women. The study revealed that men replied most to Asian women, with the exception of Asian men, who responded most to Latino women. All women, except black women, responded most to advances from white men. White women were twice as likely to respond to white men than black men. But white men preferred most other races over white women. Black men responded most to women of different races, even though black women were three times more likely to reply.
Needless to say, it's important that the apps take a stand on intolerant behavior. We've got audio here of Mandy Ginsberg. She's the CEO of Match Group, which owns dating sites including OkCupid, Plenty of Fish, Tinder, and Match.com, basically half the market. She spoke to Fortune magazine about how she took on a role 12 years ago to look at their new startup, Chemistry.com, and how that could compete against eHarmony. And they found that eHarmony at the time was practicing discrimination against users of the platform.
We found, based on our research, that eHarmony was very discriminatory at the time. They didn't allow same-sex relationships, and also one out of five people who went on their website were rejected. And so we created this campaign, which was called Rejected by eHarmony. We were really open to bringing anyone to our website. It really took off. I mean, at one point, when we were shooting the campaign, I thought, I'm either going to get fired for this or it's going to really work, and it resonated. And the rest is history. We were able to really, you know, create quite a distraction at the time for that competitor. And, you know, it really was the beginning of Match launching, incubating, buying so many new brands.
So a Bumble spokesperson acknowledged the problem, saying the online space is complicated and people can say things they wouldn't say in a bar because of potential ramifications. But she also said that whenever there are clearly racist remarks or preferences made, strict and swift actions are taken. Bumble, of course, is not alone. Other platforms are starting to acknowledge the problem, but perhaps at a slower pace. Grindr has announced a zero-tolerance policy on racism and discrimination, threatening to ban users who use racist language. However, it still has the option that allows users to filter potential dates by race. They've acknowledged that although ethnicity filter does promote racist behavior in the app, other minority groups use the filter because they want to quickly find other members of their minority community.
So I think what this comes down to, ultimately, is whether or not dating according to racial preference is racist. I think that's what we're trying to get at here. Because a lot of people do have these preferences, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of it is kind of couched in, well, it's who I like to date. It's my personal life.
Yeah.
It's just what I like to do. However, I think for people seeing on dating profiles, no Asians or will only date Chinese, for example, that can be quite confronting.
Yes. I don't think it's racist. You know, I think it's, being racist is a very strong term to use on something like this, right? Because it involves,
but it is certainly racial.
It is racial, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's racial and not racist, right? Active discrimination is very different from something like this. It's, I would use different language, for example. Yeah, you know, you see these in property rental ads in Singapore, for example, and even here in Malaysia. As to it's in Singapore, it's no Indians. I've seen that lots. In Malaysia, we're a little more subtle. Malays only. or Indians.
I don't know if that's
right.
Subtle.
You know, yeah, I know, but you know, it's kind of it's a little more halus.
Well, let's see if Arif agrees with us. We have got Arif on the line. Thank you so much for holding. Hi, Arif.
Hello.
Hello. What are your thoughts?
Well, I guess this whole idea of racism in dating is very much American-centric, I feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, generally speaking, I think there's a lot of bias or presuppositions with regards to maybe blacks or whites or Latinos or Asians in America. And there's the stereotype that probably, you know, blacks are aggressive and, you know, probably wouldn't want to date a black guy. But at the same time, there's also the fact that there are other considerations when dating a black guy. I mean, maybe with regards to... I mean, there is an inherent bias for everyone to actually kind of choose who he or she wants to be with, well, whether it's long-term or short-term.
No, I agree. But I was going to say, Arif, I mean, while the studies that we cited were Western, I don't know that people are less kind of biased here. Do you think they are in terms of who they prefer to date in terms of race?
I think in Malaysia, especially now, the lines are kind of blurred. And I feel that people are not as picky as they were before. I think people are more open to dating other races. I myself am a product of a mixed marriage, so I guess, I mean, this was before Tinder or Bumble or whatever. So, yeah, I'm a product of a mixed marriage, so I guess, I mean, I've got a lot of friends who, you know, are dating people of a different race. I feel it's not so much a taboo now as compared to before. I mean, in all honesty, my dad kind of was kicked out of the house when he married my mom. I mean, that was back then. I guess it's not so much of an issue now. I feel people are more open. And I guess the presuppositions that people have towards different races are, as I said, blurred, and they're not that true. But you can't actually eliminate those kind of biases completely. So I guess if you keep your options open, I mean, then you could actually kind of decide what is good for you or who is good for you in both the short term and the long run.
Thank you so much for calling, Arif.
Yeah, thank you very much for your thoughts. Okay, so here's the thing. There is the added, I guess, cultural baggage as well. In this country, a lot of people would say that, you know, just be more comfortable with without the complications of marrying outside your race. I think, Arif aside, I think that's a conversation that still happens. And of course, realistically, and I'm sure a lot of you can agree with this, what happens in real life in Malaysia is your parents will tell you, yeah, you can date anyone you like, but if you date a Malay, you have to convert.
So
I mean,
I've
that's
had
a conversation that happens until today.
Yes,
right?
I have had this conversation. I mean, always very much in the abstract, but nevertheless, I have had this
in
conversation.
Abstract.
Yeah, you know, I don't think parents, at least in my household, my parents didn't necessarily like to speak very directly on when you date.
Yes.
But it nevertheless didn't change the fact that they did have these thoughts. KL on WhatsApp says, my type of date, a human who loves animals and loves Malaysian food, must tolerate spicy food. Very nice. Sounds like my kind of person.
I think we can
actually
all agree with that.
Yes, I think so. Keep the calls coming. Let us know what you think. Do you have a type when you're dating? And if that type is maybe a little bit based on race, is that racist? That number to call, 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got the news coming your way, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.